Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to El Islam-based conversations. We want to get started right away. I have a lot to say, and I have a short time to say it in, you know. So we're going to just take our time and talk about this thing called Ramadan. But we're not going to specifically focus on the normal Ramadan talk. We're going to focus on what is it to you? What did you get from it this last Ramadan that you didn't get the Ramadan before? Or is it just a repeat performance? And you just put your checklist by it again and say, Alhamdulillah, another Ramadan. You know? Well, I'm going to tell you, if that's the case, you might want to rethink it before the next Ramadan comes, because there's so much you can get from Ramadan if you just make the effort and believe a little harder that God's not sitting up somewhere on a throne and he got on the right-hand side, he got the devil chained up for you, and the only devil that's going on is the devil in you. Now, you might get that image. You might get that picture. You might go through those thoughts if you're still at that symbolic level. But God, Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is so much more than what that says. That's like the starting point. You know, you got to start somewhere with anything you're doing. Cooking, eating, walking, talking. You got to start somewhere. But the more you do a thing, that thing should be solidified in our mind, or solidified in our habits, or solidified in our routine, to the point to where we can do what my brother does, have memory. We can memorize certain things, like our prayer. You know, like, what did they just tell you Ramadan was for? It's prescribed. This is the Ramadan season. Allah says this is the time to get what you haven't got, or get more of what you've been getting, so you can keep doing what you've been doing, but better. Little small chunks, little small pieces, little answers to prayers that you've been praying for, little things that you knew a little bit about, but now you know, I was seeing it all different. I was looking on one side, but it's two sides. To what? Everything. It's two sides of everything in the world of human beings. The duality is there, but it's not there to get you all confused or, what do they say, contradictions. The Quran is not full of contradictions. You can hear something and say, that can't be possible. Die that you may live? What kind of talk is that? If you die, you're dead. You can't live. You ain't going to live once you die. So what does that tell you? Must not be talking about physical death. That's the first thing you should say. God did not send revelation for all these years with all these messengers and prophets for us to get confused when the last book get written and the last prophet gets sent. And we talking about, that's confusing, God. That's confusing to you. And maybe me, but it's not, because God is trying to trick us that he ain't got nothing else to do but sit up there in the throne. You got the chain around Satan. He over in the corner somewhere hollering and can't get loose. And he asked us to do this routine every year on Ramadan and go through the Eid. celebration after getting you fading back out on the street, a little bit more Arabic than you did last year, you know. But the self-restraint, the wisdom is in it, that the camel symbolizing that he gets his feet wrapped against the hot heat of the desert, and he's still the best thing going out there. The people who travel in the desert when it was a desert like that, gypsies or Bedouins or Quraysh, the tribe, the Quraysh tribe, they still lack the transportation of the camel over the Mercedes, over the all the cars that they can go and do. Because in that desert, the camel is the best thing. Got two bellies with water. Got a circumspect approach to life. He don't just look around. He looks around in a circumventing way to make sure he's taking everything in and got the perspective he needs to give you going forward to be able to say, right here, stop right here. This is where the water is, where we're going to make our house for tonight. Now, what of all this rambling on my part leading to? It's leading to the fact that life is sophisticated. It's full of knowns, but it's also equally full of unknowns. Life is sophisticated. It's full of what can be seen, but it's also full of things that can't be seen. And if you're in the right place with the right tools, you can do just about anything. But sometimes it goes beyond just tools. It goes to the actual means of transportation you're using to get to where you're going from point A to point B. Now, if it's not needing, it may be your train of thought that's the transportation mechanism that you're needing to deal with. You can't get the complete chain of thought in place to gain the perspective to live life on its terms and not always complaining because life is not on your terms, do not meet your needs because you think it's all about you or I think it's all about me, and it's not. We're doing just like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, passing through. Don't matter who you're on the way on to, this is a temporary existence, us in this body on an earthly material composition. Meaning, even though we're not earth, we're in the earth, we're in the body, we, in order to maintain control of these forces, very sophisticated forces, I might add, you don't know until you need to use it. You don't know until after you've abused it. Pain on top of pain. All in the intent to save us. Now, it ain't there. We ain't experiencing pain because God don't got nothing to do with make the body hurt or make you feel in pain. The pain is trying to get your attention that you need to straighten up. Our attention needs to straighten up and fly right, lest you leave this planet. So all that pain, all that is trying to get our attention, say, hey, look, life is still worthwhile living. In fact, if you look at the calendar, you still got a couple more years you can go. And if you don't finish it out that way and you go prematurely or you induce some type of suicide, you don't have that right. That's one of the most deadly sins, that you take your own life in your own hands and take your life. Things weren't going well, and you done lost your health, or you done lost your money, and you done lost your pulling power and all everything else that goes with it. And now you PO'd, depressed, drunk out, drugged out, and you don't want to be around anymore. So you want to use that as an excuse to leave. If your body, if our body hasn't given up on us, why are we giving up? Body said, you still got breath, still got lungs, still got a little bit of eyesight. Ears working pretty good, even with your hearing aid. So every effort on the part of the body and intelligent beings are trying to keep us here, and still we choose to leave. After having not asked to be here, and then once we got here, everything we needed was here, waiting, and some things we wouldn't even, are not even going to be able to take advantage of because we haven't got that far along in our understanding. We haven't applied it. But people who are pretty knowledgeable say these are the best of times and the worst of times. The United States is one of the richest countries in the world, in the history of worlds. And I know, and you know for a fact, that there's been lightning, meteor-like advancements. And the best book hasn't been written. The best car hasn't been invented. And even though many of us may not be here to see this, there's going to be interplanetary travel. I could, and if you check, you can smell it. They had the Jetsons and Star Trek and all that before it came, but it's coming now at the same rate that everything else came. Go and get your smartphone, get your smart washer, dryer, smart refrigerator, and get the smart car. It'll back up for you. It'll even drive for you. It says you can take your hands off the wheel. Just put the GPS where you want to go, and I'll take you. You can even take a little nap if you want to. That is in the 2023, 2022 cars. Now, if you're like me, and if you're close to being my age, that won't be necessary for you to drive me anywhere. I'm getting behind the wheel, and I'm going to stay behind the wheel. But I'm telling you, there are some people younger than us, been around this stuff for longer than us, and they have confidence that we don't have. I don't want to have confidence, too much confidence in the computer doing that much for me. See, because the minute that I heard that a computer can go south on you and take all the knowledge with them when you go, and if you haven't got it somewhere in the cloud, somewhere they call the clouds, and you can't get it, and you just done lost your phone or your computer to a crash. And they told me this here. It's not if it's going to crash. It's when it's going to crash. See? Now, when I take that all into my mental inventory and use my executive powers to decide and not decide, I ain't putting my trust in something like that. That when at the moment that I needed the most, it decided to fail because it's a mechanical being and not a human being. It was invented by human beings, and it's called a technological advancement. But there is no greater force than the human being because it takes human beings to invent it. It takes human beings to repair it. It takes human beings to buy it. And if there's no human beings to buy it, make it, or use it, it has no benefit, no utilitarian benefit. It takes us to enhance its value and take it to the next level, gigabytes and all that kind of stuff. It can't tell you, you know what? It tell you when it's updated. It tell you that when you need to update it. It can ask you, do you need assistance? But it cannot invent itself. I hope you hear what I'm saying. We walk around with all these watches on, Fitbit, and the phone will tell you if you fail and contact your lover. The phone will tell you if you're in a car and you had a wreck, it will tell you where the wreck was, and it tell you that you hit a tree or you went overboard because you was not remembering to drive better in inclement weather. And the thing that gets me, this is the one that gets me. They're getting ready, or they already getting ready to roll out in 2024, 2020, a car that you can drive to work and send it back home to pick up your wife and let her drive it. And then when she gets through driving or when she gets time to come pick you up, she can do that. And they're spending billions of dollars on the research to get a car that will do that. And they're going to succeed. See? Because everything we need to do what we need to do, Allah has already put it here. We now discover it and then take credit for it. Look what I found. Look what I discovered. Look how I'm going to make your life better for you. So when you hear Allah telling us certain things about and having his attributes, it's not to brag because God is not a man. It's not because he's upset that we done went against and put multiple gods out there and associated items with God. No, he's not. That's not bothering him. It's bothering him that he had plans for you to be the Khalifa and they're trying to hijack it. And some of us don't even know the value of it. We just done jump ship and decided to go with the flow. Are we just hanging out? Are we just chilling? Are we trying to get income so we can make ends meet? Are we telling people we got jobs and we got on a job that really don't lack, but it pays the bills? That is not the life that Allah wants you to live. And if you're doing it and you don't seek out efforts to have to avoid it, Allah says to us, so we can say to you, if what you're doing is that fascinating that you don't even want to look around and see if there's anything else that you could do so you wouldn't have to do that, then rather than save you against your will, he lets you go on doing what you're doing because he gave you a free will. You don't have to believe in him. You don't have to follow any of his words and the messengers came with the words. You can deny their existence. You can say stupid stuff like, what has God done for me lately? He's never here when I need him. Looks like to me the doctor's doing all the work and the doctors are doing all the credit taking for the work that they do. And acting like their God, they call it what? A messianic complex. I know a little something about a little something. And I can have a successful heart transplant, put your new heart in there, get your new set of knees and hips and everything. And I done got drunk. I done got drunk with the title, the money I can charge to do that. And I'm walking around drunk telling people how great I am. And I might not even be here next year. And I might not even be here in the next minute. Me and my credentials are no good. They gone. They get a new replacement for me because I'm gone and the credentials I had, they gone. You can't give the credentials on inheritance. And we walk around and let these people who are drunk like that prescribe us medicine and look us. No, I see. They ain't got none of these doctors. What it has to do with, we have to have perspective going forward or we're not going to be going forward. We're going to be in the grips of people who have gotten very greedy right now. And you can hardly get a decent bag of chips without getting a bag of. Now, the few chips that's in there, they're good. But what overrides the fact that the chips is good is it ain't enough in there because there's so much air. Great chip, I was eating some skinny rice or whatever, not skinny rice, skinny popcorn or whatever. I forgot what the name of it was. Good, great tasting, great stuff. But not like it used to be. You used to get a more bang for your buck. But things are slowly but surely getting made in China. Which it's cheaper to make it over there and then send it back over here than it is to make it made here. And we got things in place to where we make things and then we want to get paid and we got unions to help us get paid and everything. And so people ship it on out and throw it out of China. And they got everybody beat right now with the workforce and how they can replicate. Not duplicate. Replicate. What does that mean? It means they throw the standards out the window and they produce the item that you have sent or you have given the ingredients to make the word escapes me, but you have all the ingredients and you have all the architectural stuff to build it. The formulas and what I'm trying to say. But not according to the things that govern the formula. You know, when will metal melt? When will you know, this not, when will this be in? How long will this hold up under inclement weather? And all the standards that keep it up. The standards that had brick, the house that you wanted to get built. Because brick was going to last longer than wood. Now, you seldomly find too many brick houses. What you find going up is cookie cutter houses that they start painting them 35 different colors. They start building them, and next thing you know, they got a whole community of these houses that were already prefab, already laid out. All you got to do is get your nail gun and just go to work. And in almost 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to have your house ready. And that's about how long it's going to last, 4 to 6 weeks before it starts, the paint start peeling and the wood start rotting. And next thing you know, you ain't got a house or home that you done took 30 years in investment to pay for the $250,000 house. And all of a sudden you start having these problems with your roof, with your plumbing, you know, it's on and on. Because things are being built faster, but not better. And they're charging us an arm and a leg, and you can't get the loans and all the other stuff you used to get when you had a house. You could get you know, I forget but you could get that. And you could get your house for $20,000-$30,000. Decent house, 2 or 3 bedrooms. See? But now, that'll cost you an arm and a leg. At a time when a dollar's not a dollar. So why am I talking like this? Because we need to wake up to the basics and quit saying, well, when you going to teach the religion? When you going to talk about this and talk about that? We get a pretty good dosage of religious talk. But if we're not careful, we're getting our spiritual needs met, and we're not getting our material and our social needs met. So what happens when that happens? The very thing that we need in our life is not in there because we're getting a one-sided view. We're very spiritual, as people tell me. I'm a spiritualist. I'm very spiritual. But you don't have a good relationship with your neighbors. You absolutely feel like it's an invasion of your community and your neighborhood when an African American or more than one African American moves into that neighborhood. You say to them, and you believe in your mind, well, there goes the neighborhood. And you purposely do not make an effort to go and see your new neighbor, introduce yourself, bring over some food or something, and tell them, let's get together and let's get to know each other. I got 3 boys or 3 children, and you got 3 children. Man, that seems like a nice recipe. And if they go into school, none of this is going to happen, more than likely. Or there's a great chance that it could happen, depending upon what? The neighborhood. But you hear in Scripture, especially in the Muslim Scripture, the Holy Quran, Allah telling us that He has made us different so we can get to know one another. He tells us all, take us all the way back to the humble sperm and egg situation that we're in, that the man has to be present to provide the sperm. The woman has to be present to provide the egg. Millions of species of sperms have been released. The only one makes it, and that one has become you. And at that stage, and even if you continue after that stage, even after you get out into the world and they give you another identity and they give you an ethnic identity, we are still in the human race. Why? How can we say that? Why we say it's so important? It's identity. It tells you you are not an animal. You're not a fish. You're not a wolf. You're not a rabbit. You are a human being, and you have the capacity and the potential and the time to make this world a better place to live in. You can do it on your own and invite others to help you be a part of it and reap the benefits of this capacity that we have within us and this capacity that is on the outside of us. We are a human resource who has access to mental, physical resources. Everything we need to have a little piece of heaven on earth is at our disposal. The only thing it asks of us is for us to have sense enough to appreciate it. Man, isn't that a heck of a requirement? You get access to all that's available on earth. And if you decide to use up or abuse up or go through what's here, there's not only other planets. There's other galaxies other than the Milky Way that we could explore and go to and get the kind of life. Why? Because we have the ability in our mind to adapt to the situation that we find ourselves in. And whatever it takes, if we decide that this is enough like Earth or enough like our bodies can make adjustments to, we can leave here and start developing transportation to take us there. And then if it's suitable and it's capable of being lived in with all the capabilities that we have on Earth, we can go and move there and get people moved there. And that's, yes, that's one of those believe it or not stories. In fact, we're working on it as I speak. Just waiting on the right research and the right situation to go and do some exploratory, just like they did here in America. Just like they did here on Earth. Man came and introduced civilization to the point to where we had traveled that started one way on animals, then railroad, and then airplanes, and then, like I said, intergalactical apparatuses are the near future. There's no limit that God hasn't set for us to say, well, you can't do that. Don't even think about it. It doesn't happen. You and I put limits on ourselves because we settle, or we want to take credit for the invention or for the advancement. And one thing that happens, and I saw it today and I've been seeing it over and over again, usually this is entrusted to one race. They get it. They move forward with it. But before they get it, they sign a covenant and say, you're going to share this with your fellow human being. You're not going to patent it and then sell it and do like you did it. You're not going to do that. I didn't give it to you so you would put a big price tag on it and then sure, but begrudgingly, and then sure to make yourself rich. And sure, in a way, to where they always have to come back to you to get it repaired or get the understanding of it and get to know about it. It has to go through you because you got this crazy mind that tells you that you remain in control if you tell them everything that they know, but you don't tell them everything that you know. And you're all right with that. You give yourself a mission to do that. And you don't know that particular spirit is born from greed. I hope you heard that. Wanting and keeping and hoarding knowledge and putting yourself in a position to where you know all the answers to what you're getting ready to produce and market. And you make sure that when it gets broke, they're going to have to come through you or come to you to get it fixed. And they're going to be so happy that somebody can fix it for them that whatever you say it's going to cost, that's what they're going to do and to pay you. And you go to home, sleep good at night, got your comfortable house up in the hills, up in the mountains. When you wake up in the morning, you can see a view of the vista and all that's below in the valley. And you raise your family to live like that and think like that and be like that. And don't realize you're going to be the next Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Dumpty sit on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Now, that's a little fairy tale, but what are they talking about? People that don't do what we just talked about earlier, they don't stay balanced. You can't set an egg up and it'll stay by itself. But there are certain things, because they're balanced, they're not top heavy, that you can set up and it will stay because it's balanced. Things is a square block that they used to train you how to do your ABCs on. And you could put the little words together with the block. And you could do it with the game that you could play. So man understands the role that we mentioned before that balance has, and that's in your thinking and what you build and whatever, and in your health. Homeostasis, you have to have homeostasis. The alkaline and the acid should not overseed each other. So God has made it very much to our advantage to understand the value of a balanced approach, a balanced life, and balance in our life. Out of balance, there's going to be some repercussions or consequences. Try riding your bicycle. Try walking and not be balanced about it. Your shoulders are going to get rounded. Your neck and your lower back is going to suffer because you're not walking upright. You don't have your shoulders right because you watch so much of the TVs and the computers and stuff when you working on them for hours and hours, carpal tunnel to the point that, you know, all these problems come because we're not being conscious, even though we're sitting in an ergonomical chair and the best this and the best that. Every now and then it doesn't hurt to get up and stretch, either before you sit down, after you've been sitting down, and get up out of a sedentary position, because they said sedentary lifestyle is the new cancer. What are they saying? This body with these cells need not to stagnate. They need to keep them activate. Oh, you're not using me? Well, I'll just die off on you. Same thing with the muscles, same thing with the nerves, same thing with the curvature in our back. From the lack of use and from the lack of attention, we let the curve stop being a curve, position to look like you're really in charge. You walk with a certain demeanor. And those of you who've been in the military, you know what I'm talking about. And you got the call to duty, just like you get called. Up and at them. Rise and shine. It's instructions. How many times do you tell yourself that? It's time to get up and get this new day started. And why am I excited? Because I've been given another one. I've been given another day. That's how they get calibrated. I've been given another day. And it's 24 hours in that day. I'm going to sleep part of it and the rest of the time, I'm going to work on what? I'm going to work on working on me so I can be my best self, so I can make a contribution, so I can leave a legacy. When we do leave, we're missed. Or we're remembered a certain way. So the people who lay are there to put us to rest, rest assured. You know, we don't have too much eulogies where you can say this bad or say this good. Maybe a few words and then we put you on the journey, and we start the journey of living now that you're gone. We didn't let the person return so you could stay there mourning. No. Life is life, but the other part of life is death. They're two twins. And one needs just as much attention as the other. So we have to be conscious of our mortality. We have to get wills and get... You don't have time to wake up to time. Because what were you doing if you weren't awoken to your time and conscious of your time? You were wasting time. in the absence of knowing what to do, you did nothing. We did nothing. And we had no problem wasting time doing this or not doing anything, just sit back chilling or kicking it or watching your favorite this, that, and the other, football, basketball, sitcom, whatever, sitting over the back of your hand. Know more about the sitcoms and the sports and all the stuff that's going on than you even know about your own self, Hardy. And think it's real. Sitting there talking to the TV, talking to the movies, talking to the game that just got lost, cussing and fussing with the referees and carrying on. This is the way we've come. This is what they have. They have so many mechanisms to entertain us. We're not even aware. They're committing highway robbery in the name of saying, look, God, this is your Khalifa. You see what he has? Loses his mind, gets anger, cuss and fuss, throw something at the TV, cut the TV off, or act like they can hear him or hear us. Because we have so much invested in these TVs and programs and stuff on the TV and at the movie, but they done about ended the movie. The movie's a passe thing. Some people still go there and have that tradition of the movie and the popcorn and sitting there and watching the movie, but they got so much streaming now, and it's so competitive, and it does just like it did when you used to go to the Blockbuster and get the DVD or make it a Blockbuster night. We had a big shelf with all the little movies and stuff that you wanted to watch on. Well, they done did away with that. You don't have to worry about the clutter on the shelf. All you got to do is have a remote and know how to use it. And they tell you, if you're smart, you bundle. You get three there. You get the TV, telephone, you know. All that's covered in I think it was TV, telephone, and something else. But it's all there. It's technology ruling, supposedly making our life better and more convenient and more, and it does do that to a certain extent. But make our life, you have to make your life coincide and coexist with life. You have to keep a perspective of why it is so relaxing and enjoyable to go to the beach and take your shoes off and walk along the beach or sit on the beach or have a view of the water and watch the sun come up out of it in the morning as it rises and go back in it at night when it sets. They can't even explain to you why that's so enjoyable, why that's so peaceful, why that's so beautiful, why that's so wonderful, why it's so beneficent. And you have to believe that there's a creator once you see it. True beauty and wonderment. A big ball of fire called the sun coming up out of the on the skyline. And it's colors that you haven't even thought of trying to even imagine. I mean, it is beautiful. And what does Allah say? It's all yours. Come on out here and get you some sun. Put your feet in the sand and let that sand just go between your feet. The negative charge that's in the earth to go with the positive charge that's in your body. And that's the benefit. Nobody has went up in the mountains or to the beach and not come back and say, it was just wonderful. So peaceful, and we was out in nature. We need to be. We was in a tent. We laying there listening to the birds and the crickets and stuff talking and the ants doing stuff and all that kind of stuff. I was so deep in the forest, I could hear myself, my thoughts. A lot of people in them stretched out cities and whatnot. If it get too dark and you hear your own thoughts, they go crazy. They say, no, I won't do that no more. Because what will tell you? You're doing way less than you're supposed to be doing. You need to get back into these thoughts. Now let the thoughts control you. You can make them manageable, make them calm, not get in space with your thoughts. But listen to what that last thought said. You know, I ain't talking about bucket lists now. I'm talking about living a very purposeful life and saying, in my lifetime, I want to do A, B, and C. I want to leave something that showed I live my life with purpose, on purpose, purposefully. See? And I look back and I see everything that I'm calling this purposeful discovery that I made, I had already been prepared. That's an invitation. Look at your life. Go back in time and look at your life. And you will assure yourself that you have to stop saying, if I knew then what I know now. Now you know, okay? The then is gone. Now is now. Now that you know, stop wasting time talking about woulda, coulda, shoulda. Get that out of your vocabulary and identify that thing that you have stumbled upon, how your discovery took place. But the more you do it, the more you realize it's what you're supposed to be doing. It is a job only for you. My job is my job. Your job is your job. And when you start doing your job, the job that you and I were sent here to do, it's just like a hand fitting in a glove. And you can actually say that the reason I'm doing it is like I heard a voice from above. And when I heard this voice that has me matching up with this like a hand in a glove that I think came from above, I know without a doubt it came with love. Made me love it for sending it, and made me love me for hearing it, and then doing something about it, moving on it with the urgency that needs to be moved on, looking to research to making sure I know exactly how complex and sophisticated it is so they won't get lost, and I won't feel like I'm overwhelmed by even thinking that I could do that. We have been given everything we need to do what we need to do and be the best that we need to be to do it. And we have, just like our fingerprints, we have the unique ability to do it. There's a lot of people doing different things. A lot of people on Blog Talk. Talk is your blog talk. My blog talk is my blog talk. My version of my blog talk is going to be different from your version of your blog talk or whatever it is, the ones you like, the ones you listen to. The people who are going to listen to my blog talk are going to be my people. The people who are going to listen to your blog talk is going to be your people. The people who want to know what I'm talking about, they're going to come on the blog talk. And you have what? You have your niche market. You have people who are going to support you. Can't wait to hear what the next thing you're going to say. And they're not going to be worshiping you. They're going to simply realize that you are nothing but the messenger. The most important thing is the message. And that you take these words of inspiration and apply them to your life. And you start to getting results that you've been looking for. And maybe you were getting before you heard it. And the only thing that changed is that you are consistent. You now believe that this is your job. And you get busy doing your job, and you love your job, you love the people you're working with to help you do your job, and that is a recipe for success. Undeniably, unequivocally success. You know what the hang up hold up is? It's waiting on you. Don't keep your dream waiting. Wake up and give a part of your life and your day to your dream. Don't let a
obstacle stop you. It's just an obstacle. It's a human problem. Yes. I'm talking slow. I went crazy. Not talking loud. I'm talking real soft. Because I want you to stop and listen. And if I'm shouting, you don't listen. But if I'm talking like this, you gotta stretch yourself, strain yourself to listen.
But it's not a joke. I'm not playing tricks with your mind. I'm simply saying this is the opportunity of a lifetime. But it has an expiration date. So you don't want to not take advantage of the opportunity of a lifetime in the lifetime of the opportunity. You don't want to not take advantage of the opportunity of a lifetime in the lifetime of the opportunity. How do I know that that's an accurate statement? Because scripture tells me. Allah said, if you can't do what I have ordained you to do, I will get someone else to do it. I will love them and they will love me and they will get it done. Without the complaints, without the when this and why that and when, it doesn't matter. If we believe that there is a God, and if we believe that that God has the ability to bring about something that wasn't here, but he brings it into existence with the resources that it takes. And you look at the kind of jobs that we have. I got you one, a 773. You look at the kind of jobs that we have, and when we do that job, we get credit. I'm talking about simple stuff, washing dishes, shining your shoes, making your bed. An unmade bed is waiting for somebody to make it. Whoever does it, if you're in a house with your mate or whatever, they get the credit. If you do it, you all do it together. It has a symbol and a sign that tells you we cooperated to put the bed together, or I put the bed back together, and I've got it what? Ready to be slept in. Can you see that as a progressive step? You prepared yourself, and you begin to prepare yourself for the next day. And you also understand that part of what you do, because the way you do what you do, you work hard and you give your energy to that thing, you're going to need some rest. You're going to need a good REM sleep. So when you wake up, you don't feel like you've been wrestling with a bear or you've been running from the bear. You and your body say, refreshed, renewed, and ready for the next thing on my plate to move me closer to my final destination and get me closer in tune and in touch with my legacy. Isn't that a great thing to wake up to? But before you even get to that part of you acknowledge the creator of the heavens and the earth who made this all available to you and I. By saying, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Because last little thing, I'm coming to 773. Not only are you seeing it, you believe it because you're living proof and testimony that this is what's going on in your life so that you may come your best self. And you're going to find out for yourself. Unfortunately, there's only a small percentage of people who are willing to work that hard once they hear that you can be that way, stay that way, and that you're not only preaching it, but you're also practicing it. A lot of people drop out at the very opportunity when they hear how much it's going to take in time, money, energy, etc., for us to actually really accomplish this and be considered a success and make a contribution, small as it may seem, and you go right in the archives or in the book just writing down the contributions that people made to push humanity forward and a little higher and a little better than it was before. So, now for me, I'm coming to 773. State your name and where you're calling from, and whether you have a question or a comment.
Assalamualaikum. This is Samira Muhammad Shahid. I have a comment. This is what you call real talk. It speaks to the heart and the soul and to transform the human being. You remind me so much of my growing up days, because I'm like 69 now, and this is a heart-to-heart conversation, and it just touches my soul. And when you talk about, they said, well, where's the spirituality? One time somebody told me you can be so earthly bound, you're heavenly no good. Because you're so up there, you're not operating on a physical plane, so you missed the mark. You missed the mark. But I'm telling you, Brother Hashem, your conversations be soul speaking to the soul. We need more of this, especially, I think the more the ones that can really relate the most is us in our 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, because these were the kind of down-to-earth conversations we used to hear. I just feel so bad for some of our young people because they didn't have the opportunity that we may have had when we were growing up to hear these kind of conversations, because if they did, it would make such a difference. I just so appreciate you, because every time I hear you, Allah always blessed me to hear something that I could just live my life from. And I just want to thank you and keep up the good work. And I haven't even touched the surface of what could be said for the essence that comes out of your conversation. So thank you very much. Assalamualaikum.
Before you go, let me just say two things here. We just have to take a deep breath and just relax and whatever, you know. I pray, all praise is due to Allah, you know. I am using what Allah gives me the tools to use, and I'm appreciative that people appreciate it. I want to repeat that statement to you that you just said, you know, you're so heavenly bound, you know, earthly good. That's a predicament, you know, and it says it well in that statement. But here's another predicament. Our youth, Imam Muhammad gave us he made a statement. He said, when it comes to speaking to our youth, speak to the ear that listens. See, know where they're at on this whole journey and ask them by explaining to them, believe it or not, I used to be a child. I'm going through some of the same things you're going through. You're just going through it a little different time. Mm-hmm. And it's not rocket science, but you got to be able to stand in the mirror and ask yourself certain questions. Not because I want you to ask them, but because in your deep down soul, like you just said, you're asking them, why am I doing what I'm doing? What do I want out of life? What do I see as my biggest hole up in life? What would I do in my life right now if I could do? What would I change in my life right now if I could change it? So what we got to get better at is asking questions and sort of kind of prematuring in our invitation to get in the life, like a good question. Hey, what's going on? What you doing today? What you thinking about? What's your day look like?
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
And letting them know that, hey, look, you might not think that I'm on your side and that I want you to win, but at least give me the opportunity to prove it to you, not necessarily even show it to you, but let's act like I know a little bit more about this thing called life, and I want to share my OPMs. What is that? I want to share the mistakes that I made so you won't have to make them. And I want to take something out of our conversation a little bit less and put this one in here. I have a genuine concern for your well-being. The short version of that and the short way to say that is I love you.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it better. It's a little bit richer when I can tell you I have a genuine concern for your well-being. So I talk a certain way. I act a certain way. And I ask things of you to respond with ability and hold a certain amount of accountability. See, if you don't start counting, doing things that count, you'll lose a certain ability because you'll go for, what did it say? If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, so you take it and kind of modernize and take it and kind of get it 21st century and see how long you can have a conversation with them. And every time you get a chance to talk to them, plant your seed. And know how to sow well so that you can reap well, and let them know these are the kind of conversations you have when I understand and you understand you're the future.
Mm-hmm.
We need to invest in you so that you don't become a liability, but so that you become an asset. And like I said before, you will know when you're getting across, and you'll know that you only got about 2 minutes to say what you got to say. So you say what you got to say, and you move on to your next 2 minute opportunity. And after a while, you start seeing how many minutes your little opportunity. Boy, up to 5 minutes, girl, up to 5 minutes. Okay, let me sprinkle a little water and keep it moving, and keep bettering my ability to share what I'm trying to share. Keep it from being premature. But make sure that every time you say it, they can see the warmth and the sincerity on your face for letting them say it, for letting you say it. So, you know, you got different little things. I'm sure you got things what you can do and say that will improve on what I just said. But I'm saying we got to find ways to get to our youth to let them know, hey, I'm not trying to hold you back from anything that you want to do, need to do, can do. But I don't want you to go too fast and you miss something. And don't realize that somebody was here before you got here. They did a darn good job, and you should be enjoying what they did. But at the same time, you should be thinking about what you're going to do matching funds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, you're going to feel better when you do as much or for your future as they did for your future. So you know, just stuff like that. I mean, I love conversations like this because I'm not the center of a focus. I'm trying to help us all have tools. So we can go through what Malcolm said. He said, we know you're going to caught the storm, but did you bring the ship in? Pray really? For easy. Don't pray for easier work. Pray for better skills.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, and I hope I'm not preaching to you. I'm just saying that's the spirit.
No, I got it.
You got the
I got
spirit.
It. I got
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Okay. And whatever that. Go ahead. Let me shut up. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I receive. Thank you. You just gave me another way to
not.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, like I said before, I think your voice of encouragement, and I appreciate that you are respectful and regardful of what's being said. And I say this to myself. I remind myself, and as I'm reminding people on the line, we are in debt to Imam Wafi Din Muhammad. He drove, flew, and walked endlessly to get us this message, and we heard different things from him. But whatever we heard, we should be trying to apply it and move it forward to show Allah that we are worthy of the blessing that he sent us. And so many people have come in, the Harriet Tubmans and the Sojourner Truths and the Malcolm X and the Frederick Douglasses and the Elijah Muhammads, and that's been in our lives, and we hear about them. And I just want to, you know, hopefully can live up to all that they gave us, because they sacrificed a lot to do it, and I feel like I'm indebted to make a similar sacrifice to try to get my point across to this connected to their point.
Yes,
so thank
sir.
You again. Let me let you have the closing words that you want to say with us or share with us, and I'll move on to 314-833 and see what he's got to say here today for himself and for the good and the betterment of the program. Okay, so that's it. We're going to move over here to my brother, my man, Mark Shaheed. He was in the wings in case I needed that little boost or the boost because I was at a little meeting and a little appointment. So thank you again. Give me your name again, sister, please.
Amir Muhammad Shaheed. Brother Mark is my husband.
Okay. I knew that part about it, but I mean Amir Muhammad Shaheed. Gotcha now.
Yes,
alhamdulillah.
Sir. Mm-hmm.
And congratulations too. I mean, I had a little somebody gave me a shout out that y'all were, you know, married and enjoying the benefit of what marriage brings, and no better person than someone who has a show that talks about marriage. You can already remind him, nigga. Practice what you preach, brother. Alhamdulillah. Let me get Brother Mark on here then. And thank you again, sister Amira.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Right. So I'm like, brother Mark, hold on. Oh, I see you up there and I jumped to the top with the hand. But I appreciate you standing in the wings. I'm glad I didn't have to need you or anything. So we're going to put you on the spot. And
extemporaneous
talking here, impromptu talking.
Yes, sir. Alaykum as-salam to you, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your very distinguished radio listening audience at IWDM Radio. I just been enjoying the Al-Islam-based conversation. You know, I you know, as I waited, you know, to see, praise be to Allah, because, you know, I said, Allah has really made us all very, very unique, and unique in terms of qualities and characteristics, skills, gifts, talents, presence
yeah.
that He's given to us. And so that uniqueness, you know, when people tune in, they really tune in to listen to that host and what it is that they have ready and present to them in that regard. So Allah is always the best knower. So I was so glad mm-hmm. to hear your voice. I had to wait for a few minutes to make sure that it was live and not Memorex, so to speak.
Right, exactly.
So alhamdulillah. Because, you know, it's as long as you've been in this business, you well know, at least for me, there's always a certain amount of anxiety or nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
And when yes. I make my dua, it has a common effect on me. And mm-hmm. I just let Allah guide me in terms of what it is
yes.
that I will say. Because oftentimes, to be honest, I don't know what it is I
yes.
will say. I know that Allah would guide yes. me to say the right thing in
absolutely.
That regard.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, in just conversation, you know, Brother Imam, I had that conversation a few years back, and I was asked a question. You know, it's like in courtship and marriage, a learning lab, and, of course,
mm-hmm.
parenting and family reconstruction learning lab. And even, you know, hosting the CWSC roundtable for 5.5 years or so, and other productions that I actually have done, people would ask the question, I don't know if you've ever been asked a question before, do you rehearse? Do you rehearse what you're going to say? And it's an interesting question, do you rehearse that? But I think it's an excellent question to actually ask, and especially if you're dialoguing with
right.
someone, or even if it's a monologue,
yeah.
You know,
right.
do you rehearse that? And for me, the answer is not only no, but it's emphatically no. For me,
right.
I know I don't rehearse. I give some thought to perhaps what it is I'm going to say. I mean, topic-wise and what the topic is, but just how I'm going to say it, no, not really. You
right.
know, of course, you know, I'm legally blind, so I'm not able to have any index cards or even
right.
just to write notes, you know, where I can look at and remind myself, oh, you need to say something about this, you need to say something about that. No, it's just that I totally depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who's perfect and who doesn't make any errors, doesn't make mistakes and don't have any shortcomings. And I just allow Allah to guide my mind, my heart, and my spirit. And that's the
yeah.
truth, you know, in that regard.
Yes,
and
yes.
so, yeah, I just thank, and all the praise and the thanks go to, you know, in the classes that you and I have taken, I just want to say this. We got a couple of minutes here. You know, when we say in Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it was Imam Muhammad that taught us, and like you said, it's a lot in terms of indebtedness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first for giving Imam Muhammad the knowledge and the insight and the wisdom that he gave him. He looked at alhamdulillah, and he saw that it not only means that the praise, but it also means the thanks. You know, because
mm-hmm.
you can praise God, but do you thank God?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really appreciate what
right.
it is God has given to us? And you know, when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, those two mercies, al-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, that these are two very distinguished mercies that we can praise God for, but also to thank God for, that he's the most merciful benefactor.
Right.
And we're the beneficiaries. We're the beneficiaries of the great benefits that Allah has given to us, those that we're conscious of, but those that we're unconscious of, and God willing, will uncover and discover at some point in the history of man as it's revealed to us. And then when we become unconscious again, that it is only Allah who has provided all of these benefits for us, and we begin to want to stick our chest out and all as if we have done something very great, then Allah redeems us with Al-Rahim, the most merciful redeemer. And he does that through revelation. He reveals to us, it's not you. I have done these things. And how it is that you should relate to me, and that relationship is that of a servant to master.
Yes.
Servant to master, and actually being the best servant is being an obedient servant, as we should have experienced during this blessed month of Ramadan. You know, as we fast in the month of Ramadan, while we should have been feeding in our reading and feasting on the Quran in that regard, it's just a beautiful experience to know where your place is in this natural creation. And how it is that you should be serving your Creator, but also Allah also giving us instruction for the construction of human life and how we are to relate to our spouses, our family, our community, to the world of humanity at large, and to this creation that Allah has given to us. It's a beautiful experience, Imam Nazim Pasha. I want to just thank you for giving me the opportunity to say those few words. But it's a beautiful, beautiful experience. So remember that Alhamdulillah not only means that all the praise, but all the thanks. The thanks is the appreciation. You praise God, but also thank God. Have that attitude of gratitude, because if it wasn't for the Creator given to us these two very profound mercies, then we couldn't do and accomplish all it is that we've been able to do and to be able to accomplish through Allah's mercy. I just wanted to say that. And want to just say that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow will be Tuesday, and that means that the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, along with his recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the science of your health and you learning lab. Yes, we're talking about the science of your health and you, and there is a science to health, and there's a science to you, because we are creation, and there's a body of knowledge. There's a system of knowledge that Imam Muhammad has talked about. Bring your pen and pad as it returns to its regular time here on IWDM Radio. Starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And I've already been given the heads up that tomorrow's topic on the science of your health and you learning lab is going to be on the three nervous systems. No, I didn't make a mistake. It is the three nervous systems. And that should already have your antennas up. I thought it was only one nervous system. No, three nervous systems. So please tune in tomorrow for the science of your health and you learning lab. What the distinguished host, Rashid Salam, and his off-returning guest, Instructor Shaheed Abdullah Shaheed. And Wednesday, the return back of the Parenting the Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with the very distinguished esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudin. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and we return back to our normal time, and also a very, very important textbook that we're using, Parenting Skills, based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, various applications for children of different ages. You don't want to miss that. And that will start at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And following that will be the MGM Roundtable back to its regular time and station here on IWDM Radio. It began at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And on that production, I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Also guests also outside of the community, but also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So we're looking to have a very special guest, inshallah. It's going to be a surprise, so you have to tune in and listen in to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. Thursday, the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with the very distinguished esteemed host, Karan Shakir, although this Thursday she will be on assignment elsewhere, and so you'll get me, Mark Shaheed, flying solo, as they say, but never fear, because we're going to have an outstanding Muslim couple that have already agreed to come on and dialogue with me on the sacred institution of marriage. As you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, I think you're going to really enjoy this couple. They're an outstanding couple. I'm going to keep it a surprise to those of you who are listening in for the return of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And it'll start at its normal time of 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day here on IWDM. It's Muslim worldwide as that goes. And if you're immobilized, you can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Mikhail Sayer of Manure Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. It starts each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And a new production is on the horizon, and you'll be getting further information. Stay tuned to IWDM Radio. But it is going to be pertaining to the Ramadan sessions held by our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waith Uddin Muhammad. And you most certainly are not going to want to miss those Ramadan sessions, where there was some exclusive knowledge, wisdom, and insight in regards to the Quran, the life example of the Prophet, and many other topics that Imam Muhammad over the years gave to this community. So please stay tuned for that. Sunday, the longest running program, a production here, is Words Make People. Once again, with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer hosting that. And that's each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And this brings us back to the beginning of the week, and you just heard it live with our very distinguished, esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha, as he hosts this outstanding production of ABC. And it is, and it can be as easy as 1, 2, 3, as the Jacksons say, but it is al-Islam-based conversation, and you got it. The conversation is based in al-Islam as a foundation. So please, this is a new production here on IWDM Radio. Let's not keep it a secret. Let's make sure that we let our family members know, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, community members know about Al-Islam-based conversation, because it's always best to have a conversation with two, three, four, or more in terms of whatever the topic may be. It's an outstanding production, and it begins at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 5 p.m. Central, and it is 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal, which is the lifeblood of this community. And hopefully some of you may have kept up your subscription, which can be a prescription too. And for those who have a wherewithal who may still be considering giving e-gifts, that would make an excellent e-gift to a friend, a colleague, or associate, or maybe to a neighbor, a community member, or maybe a pioneer, or maybe your local library, what many can read the Muslim Journal. So with that being said, as always, I like to say, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. And it's back to our distinguished host, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you very much, Brother Mark. I appreciate your contribution earlier. And I appreciate your announcing that we have a real nice bouquet of speakers on various subject matters and whatnot, and opportunity to get information. This is information at our age, along with technology, and a lot of things that you don't hear or hadn't been hearing, you're hearing a lot of things that you may not have been aware that you needed to hear. You're exposed to it because it's out there. It's out there to be heard. It's just a matter of us qualifying ourselves to have a filter, to have a lens, where we don't just, and have a way to halal it, you know, make it purified too. I mean, some people tell you all this stuff, leave out the most important thing, you know. And so this is what's going on. We have to do our due diligence, get the purity going on in our hearts and heads, so that when we won't get caught up in these traps and these little frauds, people are just blatantly, you know, tricking other people, other human beings to get access to their hearts and minds, and then eventually their pocketbooks. I mean, and it's just amazing. And then I've been accidentally just stumbled upon it and didn't really have an interest in the beginning. But sexual harassment and sexual trafficking and molestation of the young innocent, and pedophilia, or however you want to say it. I mean, all that's on the rise. And you have a society that doesn't address it properly, so it just keeps arising. And it's like, as long as we're not trying to check it so we can correct it, it's going to continue. I know, and Satan's going to continue to be able to hold his little card up and say, see, God, look what your Khalifa is capable of. He can't even let the young, tender virgin stay a young, tender virgin. He wants to have some kind of appetite. Or not, he wants to, has an appetite to be the first one there, to get introduced to it, to get the person introduced to it, and has a twisted idea that some kind of way, because I'm the parent, or I'm the cousin, or I'm the brother, or I'm the father, I'm going to give you the experience so that other people who may not care about you, who may not love you, won't have that opportunity. And has no ability to see that rationale out of the scope of human nature for you to introduce that particular action or capacity that was intended for the mate. And it has nothing to do with the joy or the enjoyment or the softness and the kindness. When you are attracted to your mate, all of those things come online, and you want whatever you're doing to be just as enjoyable to her as it is to you, whether it's the food that you're eating, the bed you're sleeping in, and the sex that you're having, the life that you're living. You're sharing your life with another person, and you want them to be there because they find it very attractive, whether it's the male doing it or the female doing it. That's the success. That's when success is attained. But people, in their own twisted way, think that they're doing the favor for the person avoiding this or sharing this or making it whatever better. It's already been established the way it's supposed to go. When it flows the way it's supposed to flow, the way it's supposed to go, the purity is there, the instructions are there. There's no confusion as to you're in the wrong way. Everything you need to be a male is there. Everything you need to be a female is there. There's no mistake. I'm not having problems because I need to change my gender. Lessen my problems because I changed my gender. There's only one thing that Allah has created is the human being. There's going to be human problems, and that's the good news because that means that there's going to be human solutions. And you get the other good news that you have, as I conclude this session for today, you have this other blessing that a flesh and blood human being just like you is sent to introduce and inspire you with the fine words from the Creator, from the heaven of the heavens and the earth, from the Lord and Sustainer, the Master of all levels of knowledge. You know, is introducing us to the way life the way it should be intended. And we, as long as we don't understand, as long as we understand and not make this mistake, that you get that rich nourishment, you get that purification, which is a protection, when you understand. What I'm going to say, you get what the Quran has to offer by getting it from the Quran. Then you add the tajweed and the grammar to show you that they're a little bit off. And this is my opinion. This is after hearing Imam Muhammad. His school of thought, his tafsir, and the explanation and the logic that he shows you when he tells you that you learn, just like they give you the building blocks, best. When you get the basics, you take those basics, make words, make sentences, make paragraphs, write books. And then as you grow to be able to have that desire and that ability, then you look to check it with tajweed and grammar. You need to know that you just use the noun, a pronoun, an adjective, or adverb, you know. But you go, just like they dissected and had us conjugating verbs and all that other stuff first, you go to the basics. This is an A, this is a B, this is a C, this is a D. You put the C-A-N together, and it's can. You put an ein and a rein and a lamb and a mean, and you got another word. And then you can identify because it's in a noun sense or a pronoun sense or whatever, and you want to put the as-salam, not ar-salam. The S's go together, the L's go together, the R's go together. Abdul Rahman, not Abdul Rahman. Tajweed correctly, you know. So I'm saying that it all comes together, but it comes together when it's needed to give you the completeness that you need and you and I need. But because Allah's wisdom, he says, get a grasp of the Arabic and then apply the tajweed and the grammar. You've done it a disservice to the Arabic, the Quranic Arabic, the Arabi of Fusa, to introduce the tajweed and the grammar prematurely. There's plenty of time, plenty of roles that it's going to play. But it's very important to not let it play too great of a role to where you're using it to help you understand what Allah wants to say to you, wants to say to me. The Allah said through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying by that, he's a flesh and blood human being just like you, me. What is humanly possible for one human being is humanly possible for all human beings. What is humanly possible for one human being is humanly possible for all human beings. What is humanly possible for one human being is humanly possible for all human beings. You need not be intimidated by that way of learning it, because that's the way Allah intended. Quran build Quran. You can even hear some English in there. With the Quran, you can build the Quran. Using the Quran to build the Quran. The appreciation for the Arabic. The Quran is not, the Quran, the Arabic in the Quran introduces the language that is it, that the Quran was written in. But it's the revelation, the Quran was not revealed as Arabic as much as the Quran was revealed in Arabic. It's very important that we make that transition in our mind so we don't get pre ahead of ourselves, and next thing you know, we're going from Aleph, Lam, Mim to Tajweed and grammar. No, take that introduction. You see it's an Aleph, you see it's a Lam, you see how, then you go and see how many times it's in the Bible, I mean in the Quran. What does it mean here and what does it mean here? And you will find, with the help of Imam Muhammad's tafsir and great teachers like that are teaching us today in Fitra and et cetera, Rashad Abdul Rahman, all the great teachers out there, Imam Kazim, Imam Yahya, Imam Fahim Shihuah, all those great people are laying the foundation so we can get better use of this Arabic and show people what the religion really means and how it unites humanity. It addresses racism, sexism, and all the isms that bring about schisms as to us as human beings. It corrects it. And you can walk around and get real indebted and get real happy that it found its way into your head, into your heart, and now you owe. You're in debt. You're in debt because for those who are given much, much is required. It's not enough now to sit around and do what you've been doing before you knew. Now that you know, you're obligated to help others know. And that's the key word. If they don't want to know, or if they want to drop out, if they get tired, or they get old, or they get sick, or they get, it's too problematic, that Arabic, I tried it, and it's just not my fit, or marriage, I just can't find the right man or the right woman, it's not for me. Well, okay, cool. No one's going to force you. There's no compulsion. Nobody's going to trick you into doing what you don't want to do. Because it says that if I can get you to go against your will, you're the same person still. If I can get you to go and do something against your will, you're the same person still. It's an inside job. You got to change the inside, and then you can see the difference on the outside. Because you believe in this. You're applying this. You're passionate about this. You love God and you love yourself enough to get out there and risk not being received, not being accepted, not being able to convince themselves, the people that you shared it with, to give yourself a permission slip to do your thing as it relates to what I'm doing. Don't be little. Don't be bitter at what might have happened. Be able to heal yourself. Get the bitterness out of your head and your heart and do yourself a favor by being favored by your Creator. Which of the favors will you deny? 31 times you ask in 31 different situations. And what is Allah saying with that effort like that? I'm willing to go that mile. I'm willing to put myself out there that many times, not begging, but maybe you didn't see it when you looked at it this way. Maybe you didn't see it when you heard it this way. Maybe it takes this for you to see it. So I'm going to say it in 31 different situational things for you so that you can do the rest to connect the dots and say, now I see it. I just needed that one piece at the top of the puzzle, at the corner. And now it's clear as day. See? That's what a puzzle does, and that's what the puzzles that we have in life do. If you want it, and you'll simply ask yourself and then submit and conform yourself, it'll come. Because the Creator recognizes that you've done what you needed to do to receive it and then do something with it. Not beat your chest, not become self-righteous, not proclaim your fame, humble yourself, be grateful, and appreciative and obedient. And don't have to have it beat into you, drummed into you, instill it in you, install it in you. Instill it in you, install it in you. Instill it in you and install it in you. You covered both bases. You went inside, and then you come out and do what's needed on the outside. Let the people see a Muslim who is trying to grow into a movement. Everybody's not there because they declare that they're there. Your action and your behavior, as the sister was saying, will tell you whether you're there or not. And that's what you let tell you. We don't know that we don't know sometimes. But when you do know what you know, you're going to feel a greater sense of peace. You're going to be able to turn on your little light and let it shine so that that little bit of light will take us out of the dark until we can light up the heavens. Light it up like the heavens are lit up. Light it up like the candle can be lit up. Light it up like and push the button like a flashlight. You go, light is light. Whether it be the candlelight or the flashlight, it's going to have an impact on the darkness. It's going to give you a perspective and a view and an ability to identify something that you couldn't do without the light. And what you might have been mistaken in the dark now can't be mistaken because you got enough light to see it clearly. And what goes away when you got a certain kind of light, as I conclude? Fear. When the light comes on, the fear leaves, doubt leaves. The ability to give yourself permission to know how to do for yourself, become your best self, make your contribution, put the ideas out in the marketplace of ideas, and put what used to be a very dignified and enlightened group of people that return to their former glory. Return willingly and accepted to identify themselves as Muslims, revisit the better name for to ethnically identify us, and you'll see and come to know that still a lot of value in calling ourselves Belalians. Much more value than calling ourselves African Americans or whatever else that we come up with. Almost everything we came up with, from black to color to Negro, was just a reaction to being called certain names and epitome and given, identified as three-fifths and not human, and all the negative stuff that we heard about ourselves. You don't go to that man and ask him what we gonna call ourselves. You name your own self and have the dignity and the capability and know that you have the competence to do it. You don't have to ask anybody, is it okay? You don't have to gain acceptance from anybody. You recognize and I recognize what needs to be done, and we do it. And we do it with a bismillah. Bismillah. What do you mean? Honor this God. I'm going to honor the fact that you put it in my head and my heart to have an identity that gives me dignity, that gives me a certain responsibility, and it gives me recognized at the table of my fellow human being. And it's all a part of my miraculous effort to get me back on the road to recovery so I can do what my fellow man does and not be questioned. And that's what I want to see for us as a people. I want to see it as clear as it can be seen, as in good, well shape that it should be seen before I leave. I want to know we're on that road, and we're going to stay on that road, that Sirat al-Mustaqim, and we're going to, as they say here, and in the South here, we're going to get her done. If not now, when? If not us, who? Those are the kind of questions we got to ask ourselves. And then when the answer comes back, get busy. Maybe you can say, I'm already busy. Well, get busier. Get a team of people. Get a format. Get a TV stake, you know, like the brother was doing on it. Get something that pushes it to the next level. And don't question your ability to handle pushing it to the next level. Oh, you know what? You know I'm a certain age. That's a part of the miracle. Nothing is a barrier. Nothing is an obstacle. Nothing impedes us. Nothing puts doubt in us that if we can't finish it, and it's going to be a lot of unfinished business, don't start it. Don't tell yourself you're not going to start it because you're not going to be able to finish it. Generational progress. Put it in good hands so that nobody squanders, no one drops the ball, and we keep it moving to move the world to a little better place. And listen to what the Imam said, that we were making the world, starting with ourselves, and we're bringing along those who will to make this place a better place. And that's our family. And it's not going to be a lot. It doesn't take a lot. It takes commitment. It takes consistency. It takes competence. Those are the kinds of, it takes a certain consciousness. That's S-C-I-O-U-S and S-C-I-N-C-E. You got to be bothered. Some things should bother your conscience. And you find them inconscionable to do, to for other people to know, to be seen, anything other than a healthy mind, body, and heart, mind, body, and spirit human being who seeks no pleasure but the pleasure of Allah, so he feels no gratitude and no joy with doing anything less than what Allah has commanded us to do, helped us to do, and protected us when we do these things, and so that we won't do these things. The world is in need of that right now. It needs someone who can stand their ground and not give up. So, you know, we could say more. I'm sure there's more to be said. But at another time, we thank you for your attentiveness. We thank you for your comments in this conversation. And we know that we've just come through the 30 days, and we've headed to our celebration. We're still going on Eid al-Fitr. And then in a very few short days, it will be Eid al-Adha. And we will take it to heart, even though we're going to get more participation, more involvement in Ramadan than we will in Eid al-Adha. It's the bigger Eid. It's what comes after you get your nature back intact. See? This is a big, big world, earth, galaxy, universe, excuse me, that's the word I think will help us get us there. And we need the bigness that only Allah can give us to make these God-sized accomplishments and progress that we need to make. We can't do it without God's help. He tells us that he's willing to give his help, and we're willing to do it in his name for his pleasure, serving humanity, and serving him by serving humanity. That's the command. That's the sequences. That's what Allah requires of us. So anyway, I conclude tonight. It's been a wonderful night. It's been a wonderful Ramadan. It's been a wonderful having you on to listen. I don't want to sound preachy. I don't want to sound like I'm rambling. But I am really that infusion during Ramadan, and I thank my brother for telling us that we should be fasting but feasting on the Quran. That's good, healthy instructions. That's invaluable instructions, especially when you listen and begin to apply it. Anybody who has been listening and been applying it, they're getting the results. My results won't be your results. Your results won't be my results. But results is results. It gives you more than the outcome because of your income. but it gives you the repetitiveness. It increases your real estate. It makes you know and other people know I'm here for some business. I got purpose in my life. That can, it gives me passion in my life. So if you need to get out the way, you need to get out the way. Because this is not for the faint of heart. And nobody mad at you. Nobody's mad at anybody else at me because it's not for everybody. But if you would take a little time and do and say what I couldn't say last week, if you fail the plan, you plan to fail. Get a plan. Get a strategy. Have a part one and a part two. Have a plan A and a plan B. The ability to change the in-flight adjustment, as Cosm used to say. May Allah please and command in the paradise and forgive him his sins and his faults. Right while we're in the motion, while we're making a plan, right while we done got some movement with it, it may need a little adjustment. So nothing stops. We just make the adjustment and keep it moving. Not deterred by anything. Okay, so let me stop again. This time, this is final. We got 1 hour and 16 minutes on the wall. Perfect time to stop. So thank you once again. Really, we promise to Allah and we promise to you it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. It's going to get easier to say. It's going to get easier to do. And we're going to see more people doing it. And you're going to be surprised that the people who are doing it may not all look like us. But with Allah, when we're serving Allah, Allah makes who he wants to make Muslim. He knows better than we do. And whenever that person shows up, that's your brother, that's your sister, community. And we march on the glory. Blessed assurance. Okay. Those things were telling you it's time to shut up. Okay, so, alhamdulillah, shukran. Thank you again, and thank you for having patience with your brother today. And let's just make a commitment. Let's make the vows. Let's take the vows to work together and see that this thing happens in as much as we can in our lifetime and leaving less unfinished business. So this has been Imam Nazim Pasha. You've been listening to LSLM-based conversations. And we thank you once again. We're concluding for today. But we hope that you're taking something to heart, taking it to heart to do something about it in your own unique way. And when it gets done, because you're the one who did it with the help of others, you get the recognition. And Allah gets the total credit, and he gets the praise. And that and just puts it in our heart much more stronger because we know that he allowed us to do it in his name. Which that means that's a big appreciation on his part to give us the trust to be the one who delivered that we all need. And when someone delivers it and when we apply it, guess what happens? Man, that's some cooking with gas. But anyway, alhamdulillah. So good night. Have a blessed night. And we look forward to talking to you again next Monday. But we look forward to tomorrow. What it has to offer and what it can bring to a people who are looking, who are hungry. So keep looking. Stay hungry. May the peace that only Allah give be with you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.